Hey guys, welcome to the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley, your host on this Monday after Super Bowl. We're going to get into that. But you can join us on all social media at Be Terrific TV. And join us on a Slack chat. Come join us. If you want to invite, you can send that to connect@beterrific.com and we'll get you on. And you can officially become a part of the Terrifics. But guys, happy Monday. Again, Monday after the Super Bowl, after an epic Super Bowl, all-time classic. Arguably, I would say the greatest Super Bowl ever, at least that I witnessed. And I thought that was the case with the Patriots in Seattle. But this one outdid that one. Tom Brady, kudos to him. You have to tip your hat. The guy is definitely the greatest quarterback of all time based on, again, I have to say based on, I have to go into the criteria of the greatest quarterback of all time before Michael calls and has a lot to say about it. But let me clarify, because five championships, five Super Bowls has never been done by any quarterback. He's done that. The fashion in which he won these championships, the comebacks, 19 down in the fourth quarter to come back the way he did was truly amazing, absolutely unforeseen, but he did it. Then he did it the Super Bowl prior to that, the last Super Bowl he played in against arguably one of the greatest defenses of all time in the Legion of Doom in the Seattle Seahawks, and he came back in that one as well. The guy has a knack for playing his best when his back is against the wall, and that's truly a mark of greatness. And for that, I think he stands alone. I can't think of any quarterback who plays better with his back against the wall when the pressure is on than Tom Brady. I didn't have the privilege of watching Joe Montana and some of the other great quarterbacks of that generation, but in this generation, he certainly stands alone. And the Patriots, of course, too. We like to just kind of signify the one star and the guy who plays the starring role in these comebacks and in these great wins and in these Super Bowl victories. But you have to also tip your hat to these to the New England Patriots defense. I mean, three and out. They were real quick with it. Made sure that Tom Brady had ample time to surge that comeback. That sack was huge. That sack fumble was huge. I mean, they just made huge plays. Bill Belichick, mastermind. They were getting destroyed, annihilated in that first half, and he made the adjustments that were necessary to put the pressure really on Matt Ryan and pressure bust pipes in the show there. So it was a team effort and a team win, but Tom Brady definitely was the MVP and the main reason why they come out victorious in Super Bowl 51 as the 2017 champions, and deservingly so. Can't say enough about him. In regards to the GOAT comments and the greatest of all time, the talk that we've been having for a few weeks here on the show, me and Michael have been having a heated debate about this for some time now. We'll get into that, and maybe Michael will be back sometime this week, and we'll jump into it more because the greats are really determined based on criteria, championships and big wins, and Tom Brady has that. My dispute with that, with the greatest quarterback of all time, really was just that if you change situations with other quarterbacks, what would the situation be? And Aaron Rodgers, to me, is a guy who you put him in situations, I think he can deliver as well. And I think that he'd also be a multiple Super Bowl champion. But he only has one, and we can only deal with reality. And the reality is he has one Super Bowl. He's never been in a situation where he's had to come back in fourth quarters like this. He's never had a team in which, you know, he had a coach and a mastermind that did this where he'd be in position to even do so. So I can't talk about what would be. I can only talk about now. And for now, Tom Brady certainly has done that. And the proof is in the pudding, and he's the GOAT. But I stand by my comments in regards to Aaron Rodgers, because we start next season and we start any season. There's no quarterback like him. And I'll stick to that. But like I said, that's a conversation maybe for another day, for another show. And I'm sure me and Mike will definitely be having that talk in the coming shows. But nonetheless, just back to the Patriots and just what an amazing win. And in all honesty, I was watching the game the entire time, and I never felt that they were going to lose. I never felt that they were out of it. I always felt as though that they could come back. I was watching the Super Bowl with my friend Trav, and he's a big Patriots fan, a big Patriots supporter. And one of the things that he jumped out to me, in all honesty, was just looking in the eyes of Matt Ryan. He just didn't give me any confidence that entire game. I looked in the man's eyes and I could just see fear. Even though he started off 6-for-6, It was shaky passes. That's why I say sometimes you can't just fall for the stats. You have to really watch the game and see how it's being played. And Matt Ryan, although he started 6-for-6, his throws weren't really crisp. I think his receivers kind of helped him out a lot. I think Devontae Freeman definitely relieved him of a lot of pressure with some of those big runs that he had early on and putting him in great position. Julio Jones, best receiver in football by far. It's not even debatable at this point. The guy performs everywhere. Big stage, big catches. However you want it, he delivers. Awesome, awesome talent. Best receiver in the NFL. Sorry, Odell. Sorry, Antonio Brown. But I have to see you perform on that level, on that stage, before I can ever even think to say that you're better than Julio Jones after the way he performed throughout this entire postseason and yesterday. But again, I looked into the eyes of Matt Ryan, and I saw fear. I saw fear. I saw somebody who was scared already about losing, who was worried about turning the ball over. And the nerves and the jitters got to him completely, and I could see it was just way too big for him. Even after they were up that big amount, I honestly felt as though it was more so like the team. I think everyone came to do their job except for him. The defense was great. They put tremendous pressure on Brady early on, I think, for the most part. They had big turnovers. They had the fumble from Blount, and they had something that I've never seen before, a pick six from Tom Brady in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, nonetheless. I mean, you can't ask for much more from your defense for that. Any defense that's on the field for that long is going to get tired. That's how it works. The Patriots are going to wear you down. They have a strong offensive line, and you're going to continue to try to put pressure on them because that's the way to defeat Brady that we've seen. That's the formula, the recipe to it, is to continually pressure him and get to him and hit the quarterback because he's not elusive in the pocket. And so if you can get to him, you're gonna be able to – if you can break the offensive line, you're going to get to him. You're going to be able to sack him for the most part. I think the Falcons with the personnel did that as much as they possibly could. And they got to him, and they did it, you know, as well as you could expect from who they had on the field. Pressure was there, but they can't be on the field the entire time. Even when they were up 21-0, they still, I believe, were on the field for longer than the Patriots were. I mean, the Patriots' defense was. And that was because the Patriots' drives, it seemed like, would be longer, even though it wouldn't result in points. The Falcons' drives, however, kind of were a little bit more quicker, at least until the end, and then the Patriots start to score quicker. And then, you know, after that point, it was over because Matt Ryan, I'm calling him Matt Ryan, I'm no longer calling him Matty Ice. Matt Ryan was just three and out, complete, like, super fast. Incomplete, out of there. You have to give your defense time to rest. When they're on the field against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and they've been on the field as long as they are, they need time to kind of regain their catch a breath. These guys have been on the field the entire time playing great defense. They need time to rest. They need time to relax. They need time to recoup, kind of like go over the game plan and strategize on a better way to attack Tom Brady. They never got that time because their quarterback, their MVP, Offensive Player of the Year quarterback, was not able to perform on the biggest stage. He couldn't give them time to rest. He put them in bad positions like the entire time. I mean, he did the defense a great disservice. And for people who really know the game and who know football, knows that's what it came down to. It wasn't the defense's fault. The defense is not going to be able to be on the field for that length of time and still have the same level of effectiveness as they had early on. It was only a matter of time. Tom Brady wore them down and they broke. And it would have happened to anyone. If you have to point the finger at who's to blame for this loss, it absolutely has to be Matt Ryan. I mean, that sack that he took was egregious. That's probably the worst playoff, aside from Russell Wilson's. Honestly, it may be worse than Russell Wilson's. You know what? I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say that. The sack that Matt Ryan took was the worst play I've ever seen in the Super Bowl. Ever seen in the Super Bowl. By far, the worst play I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that. Julio Jones makes this miraculous catch. Two feet in. One of the best catches in Super Bowl history. And would have, it's still going to go down in history as one of the best catches in Super Bowl history. But certainly we remember more in better terms if they won. But nonetheless, he makes that miraculous catch. He has them in field goal range. Matt Ryan, I mean, first he gets sacked, and then he takes another sack. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Matt Ryan's been in the league for how long? Is it 9 years now? And you don't know to get rid of the ball? You don't realize the time? You don't realize the position you're in? You don't realize your position on the field and that you're within field goal range? That was the game. How do you do that? How do you not realize where you're at and allow yourself to be sacked out of field goal range? With the Patriots making a strong comeback and all the momentum on their side, that field goal would have broke them. That would have been the game. Your defense was tired and reeling. You had them where you needed to have them. At that point, only thing you needed to do was, you know, just get closer and closer to the goal and give your kicker the best chance possible to finish the game for you. And you couldn't do that. I mean, I guess we can blame play calling, but this is what they've been doing the entire year. I have nothing against Quinn. I think he's a great coach. I think he put his team in great position to win. If you go back and you rewatch the game, I'm sure there's little things that you can point out here and there that you can question as far as his moves. Third and one, maybe you shouldn't pass. You should run for it. Definitely. I understand all of that. Honestly, I didn't like I think that Devontae Freeman had it rolling. I think I would have gave him a lot more carries than what they did. I think that Tevin Coleman, although a talented running back and had been effective for them, you know, leading up to it, I think you have to go with the hot man. And the hot hand at that point was Devontae Freeman. He had it going from the rip. First run of the game, I think he reeled off a ridiculous run. So I would have kept on with him. They were about 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-3, I believe, and they gave the ball to Tevin Coleman a run. And I'm like, I don't understand that. No disrespect to Tevin Coleman, but he's also not a better quarterback. He's also not a better running back, in my opinion, than Devontae Freeman. He's better catching the ball. He's a better receiving back, but he's not a better running back. So if that's the case, if I have the better running back, the guy who's having a better game and he's proven himself to be the better runner throughout the season, I'm going with that guy. So with that, I would question it, yes. But everything can be questioned when you go back in hindsight. But the biggest thing to me was that Matt Ryan really let this team down. He just was not prepared for these big lights. He was not prepared for the bright lights. You could see it in his eyes the entire time. From the first quarter on, I knew that Matt Ryan was not cut for this. And honestly, it just kind of proved true. Everybody who's been listening to the show in the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl knows one of the things I've been pointing out, one of the things I've been saying is that although Matt Ryan has been performing, he's had an all-time great postseason, there's still something about him that leaves little to be desired. There's still something about him that makes me doubt him. He just didn't give me that confidence. He didn't make me believe as though he believed that they were going to win, as though he believed that they had what it took. And I could see it in his eyes the entire time. And I know some people don't believe in that. People believe in things that can be measured, and I understand that. But there's some things that can't be measured. And heart is one of them. Sometimes you can look into somebody's eyes and see what it is that you need to see. You can see who's scared and who's not. You can see the aggressor and who's not the aggressor. And that matters when you're battling. I mean, pretty much you're fighting for your life here. When it comes to the Super Bowl, the championship, the last game of the year, but you've gone through training camp, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, Pee Wee football, high school football, college football, the draft, everything. Everything is for this moment. You have worked your entire life for this moment. So when you go into that game, you have to go into that game in warrior mode. You have to be ready to put it all on the line. You have to go in there. If you're going to be fearful, you have to fight fearful. I didn't get that from Matt Ryan at all. And it sucks for the entire team because I really believe that everyone on that team came to play. Julio Jones, amazing. Gabriel, big plays, very good. Tight end, very good. Everyone was good. Devontae Freeman was awesome. Tevin Coleman didn't have his strongest game. Okay. But Matt Ryan, I don't care what the numbers say. My eyes didn't lie to me. I saw a quarterback that was scared, and it showed. I can say this. I don't think there is not a great quarterback. There's not a great quarterback who is going to let themselves lose a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. It's not happening. it's no, I would put my life savings. If I had to bet everything that I've ever earned. If I was a billionaire, if I had to put everything on the line, I would put everything on the line that Aaron Rodgers is not going to lose a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's not going to happen. Ben Roethlisberger is not losing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter. Andrew Luck is not losing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's not happening. Great quarterbacks are not losing that lead in the fourth quarter. It's just not happening. It's simply not happening. And I guess what was proven is that Matt Ryan is not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's a decent quarterback. When you get to the big dance, somebody else has to lead the way. He can play a supporting role, but he's not gonna lead you into the sunlight. And he showed that. The lights were too bright for him, and he couldn't perform. I mean, Phillip Rivers is not losing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Honestly, I'll go to a rookie. Dak Prescott is not losing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. I can look in that young man's eyes and see that he's coming to play. He's not scared. There's certain intangibles about players that just can't be measured, and you can see who has it and who doesn't. And Matt Ryan, with all his talent, doesn't have it. And it showed on the biggest stage. And it's unfortunate for the city of Atlanta and the Atlanta Falcons and Coach Dan Quinn and everybody who's worked their butt off that entire season. And, of course, Matt Ryan didn't intend to lose. He didn't want to lose. But he let the fear get the best of him. I would hope that this is a lesson learned. But he's 31 years old and he's in his eighth or ninth year. What is it in the NFL? If that's something that he had to get on this stage to learn at this point in his career, it's not going to get any better. At this point, he is who he is. And he's going to have to wear this for the rest of his life. He's going to be 50 years old thinking, I mean, if he doesn't realize it already, he knows it. He knows he coughed this thing up. He knows that it's on him. He knows that he let his team down, and he knows that he choked. It doesn't have to be an interception all the time. It doesn't have to be, bad stats all the time. You know, Tom Brady played an awful first half, but he didn't look like a guy who was choking. He didn't look like a guy who was scared. He just looked like a guy who was having a bad game. He wasn't getting much help. People weren't making plays. Defense was getting to him. Obviously, he threw a pick six. That didn't help. He was off on a few of his passes. All these things were true. But he was playing. It's a difference between a bad game and choking. What Matt Ryan did was choke. Simple and plain. And anyone can try to dress it up however which way they like. But the facts are the facts. The footage is there. You know, Tom Brady's not somebody that we can doubt or that we usually would doubt. Anything is possible. I said I went to that fourth quarter and I knew that they could win. But it wasn't so much because it's Tom Brady, because I knew he would do everything that he could do. But it was more so because I saw fear in the eyes of the opponents. And to me, that usually is a giveaway. But guys, we're going to go ahead, take a break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl. What were some of your favorite commercials? What did you think about Lady Gaga's performance? We're going to get into all of that. And what are the chances that the Patriots do this again next year? I think it's pretty high. They did this without Gronkowski. So the chances are really high that they'll repeat again. But we'll talk more about that when we get back to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific with me, Kevin Foley, as your host. You guys stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. Guys, you can check us out on all social media at BeTerrificTV. Join us on the Slack chat by sending your request to connect@BeTerrific.com, and we'll get you in there. Also, you can find archives of the Michael Arthur Show and other BeTerrific programming on BeTerrific.com. Honestly, guys, I'm still a little bit in awe. I wasn't shocked to see the Patriots win. I felt as though going into that fourth quarter, just the way things were looking and the quick three and outs by the Falcons, I thought that the Patriots could still win this thing, and the fear that I saw in the eyes of Matt Ryan definitely didn't make me feel like the championship was in the bag for them. But it still doesn't take away from an amazing comeback. I mean, Tom Brady's cemented himself. I mean, he was already solidified as one of the greats of all time. This one makes it, it's going to be hard to surpass this. Five championships, I mean, seven Super Bowls, 5-2 overall. I mean, you can't beat that. I don't know the quarterback that's going to overcome that, because the thing is, you kind of need, with football especially, being that it's the ultimate team sport. It takes guys on defense and offense to work together. Maybe not together at the same time, but everyone to do their jobs. And it takes a great coach, an all-time great coach and everything, to work out the way it has for them. I mean, they have the perfect blend of great parts and a great coach and a great quarterback. And those ingredients usually lead to great success. I mean, I think if you look at all the all-time great teams, they've all had that. You had Walsh, you had Montana. I mean, it's not a coincidence. It is definitely one of the key components, I think, to dynasties and to teams that win not just one championship but multiple championships. And I don't know the next quarterback that's going to have a great coach like Belichick to pair with him so they can win championships the way that Tom Brady and Belichick have done together. Because Tom Brady would have won a championship without Bill Belichick. Yes, he could have. Bill Belichick could have won a championship without Tom Brady. But five championships, they couldn't have done that without each other. And I think that any quarterback that's going to be successful on that level needs that. That's something that... by the way, I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say this first. Peyton Manning did not perform on a big stage the way Tom Brady performs on a big stage. That's without question. It's the facts of the matter, and I'm a Peyton Manning guy. That was my guy growing up, my favorite quarterback of all time. Can't deny that. But he also never had a great, all-time great coach like Bill Belichick, and I definitely think he would have more rings if he did. That's not to take away from what Brady did, and that's not to say that even that Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady or to have more rings or anything of that. That's another conversation. I'm just simply pointing out the fact that I think that it takes a great quarterback as well as a great coach together to have multiple championships the way they have. I think that's a formula for that. But a little break from the football side of things. What did you guys think of the halftime performance? You know, Lady Gaga took the stage this year. I'm not sure who did it last year. I want to say Beyonce, but I think Beyonce did it the year before that. But nonetheless, Lady Gaga, Beyonce is the last Super Bowl performance I remember, I would say. And that's the one that really stood out to me because she was awesome. I think she was great. She performed the heck out of that show. And she was the last great performer that I recall. For Super Bowl. Actually, I think last year was Katy Perry. Yes, Katy Perry did last year, and she wasn't bad as well. Beyonce really stood out to me. I think she's the best one we've had in some time. She's the one that really took it off. Lady Gaga wasn't bad. I like the way she caught that football at the end there. Showed a little athleticism, you know, little gamesmanship. I thought she did a pretty good job. But she didn't blow me away. Not with yes, I'm not a big fan of her music either. I know that they're, you know, very popular hits, some of them. But I don't know. It didn't quite do it for me. I didn't think it was. It didn't rank up there. It wasn't a memorable Super Bowl performance. It wasn't like Beyonce's or Michael Jackson, you know, Whitney Houston, people like that. There's been some standout Super Bowl performances. That just wasn't one of them, in my opinion. I would love to hear what everybody else thinks. Terrifics, get at me at the Slack chat and let me know what you think of the performance overall. Next year, I would love to see Rihanna perform. Surprised they couldn't get her. I mean, she has the hits. She has the talent. She has the following. I think that next, we have to get Rihanna to perform at the next Super Bowl. That's a personal request for me. I'm a big Riri fan. I think she's great. So... I know I'm not the only one And I think that it really beats it to the delight of all the Super Bowl viewers to be able to get a performance and to see her if they haven't been able to. She's really something. So I think they need to get Rihanna out there. But even not besides Rihanna, how about, you know, The Weeknd or who else can I think of? Well, Justin Timberlake's performed. Justin Timberlake is also another awesome performer. He's great. Chris Brown, I think, is pretty good, although he's a bit controversial. I don't think that he may not necessarily jive with the NFL's, what the NFL is trying to portray. And I guess just the image of Chris Brown, fair or unfair. Performance-wise, he would be awesome for that show. Just probably not PR-wise. I'm trying to think. Who else would I like to see? So I said Rihanna. I said The Weeknd. Justin Timberlake we've had, so we don't want to do that again. I would say Usher, but it's been a while since he's had like real hit songs on a national scale. I think he's had hits recently for maybe for the hip hop and the hip hop demographic, like in that genre. But a national hit where everyone, regardless of if that's your main course of music or not, I don't think he's had one. But he would be an awesome performer as well. I mean, but hey, they had Gaga, so why not him? Yeah, Usher. I'll put Usher as a candidate. Kanye West, too. Kanye West is a great performer. And he obviously has the hits. Obviously is recognized worldwide, has a lot of fans. So he's another one that I think that could make that list. Running out of people here. But who would you guys like to see perform at the Super Bowl next year? I think we have a lot of talented artists nowadays. We should be able to come up with more than just a few that I named. I think that those were just a few that I would like to see. Bruno Mars. That would be a great, obviously a great one to see. Maroon 5, I believe, did it. Maroon 5 is good. They've done it before, too, as well, though. So those are some of the people I think that I would love to see perform at the Super Bowl. No disrespect to Gaga, just didn't quite do it for me. The commercials were kind of down too this year as well. I think that there were a lot of social messages in the commercials. I appreciate that. I think that substance-wise, the commercials were as strong as they ever been. They talked to a lot of the things that we're going through as a country right now, in the world right now. And I respect that those things were being addressed, absolutely. I think the Airbnb We Accept campaign was really strong. I think a lot of people took a liking to that one. Turkish Airlines. There were a few that stood out for their social messages. Budweiser was another one that really sent a strong social message as well. So substance-wise, I think these commercials were as strong as they've been. Very good substantive commercials. I love the messages that were being shared there about inclusion and about what America is really about. So I think that was awesome to see. Movie-wise, I was really impressed. There were some movies there that they previewed that I really can't wait to go see. Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson. Everyone knows I love Scarlett Johansson. But not only do I love Scarlett Johansson, I love what the movie seemed to be about AI and guess these Android robots. I'm not really too sure. Adam was filling me in on Ghost in the Shell and said it was a Japanese anime from back in the 80s, I believe. He has to give me some more details on it. But it definitely looks like the type of movie that I would love and I would be into. So that really caught my eye. I don't know much about the storyline behind it, but it's already a movie that I would want to go see. So that one was really good. Transformers, The Last Night. Transformers kind of like warmed me a little bit after a while. Kind of got to the same thing. I know who's going to win at the end. How many of these hidden secrets can they have before they kind of figure them all out? Somebody always pops up out of nowhere, surprise. But the trailer was really good. I'm not sure if I would go see it in the theaters at this point just because I've seen so many of them. But I would watch the movie. That one was good. Fast and Furious 8, Fate of Furious. Is this the last one or what? It says 8, but it feels like it's 22. I mean, how many different spinoffs of Fast and Furious can you have at this point? I mean, part 8, my goodness. Fate of the Furious. And they're pretty good, I have to say. The last one I saw, I think I saw part six. That was the last one that I saw, and it was really good. It was actually really good. I didn't see seven, but for them to carry on like this, all of them must be great. I remember the first one that I saw, and that was really good. Part two was really good. Part six, I think I've seen three out of the currently released seven. So eight, I'm not sure if I go see that in the theaters. I may, depending on the time of day, I mean the day of the week that it is, and if I'm bored, but it's not something I'm really jumping to go look forward to. Just because I have an idea. Once you have an idea of how the movie's going to go, you know, it kind of like, you kind of lose interest a little bit. And that's kind of where I'm at with Fast and Furious and movies like Transformers. So that didn't really do it for me as much. The trailers looked really good, yes. But as far as my interest in the movies, because of, there just wasn't really much originality in any of those two. Not so much. But Ghost in the Shell, that's definitely the one movie that really caught my eye that I really, really want to see. I can't wait till that's released and available. Stranger Things 2. There was the trailer for that was released. Obviously, everyone knows, everyone who doesn't know, Stranger Things was a hit series that was released on Netflix last year. Really good. Almost, if I had to compare it to anything, it's like the Goonies, I would say. And it really got a lot of fanfare last year, and they have the trailer release for season two of that. It looks pretty good, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm not sure when it's going to be released. I have to find a date, but as soon as it is, I'm definitely going to be tuned in. I definitely enjoyed season one. I find it really hard for shows to live up to the season ones that they have. When you have a great season one, it's extremely hard to live up to season two. And if you can live up to season two, that's signs of great things to come. Because if a show can have back-to-back great seasons, then that's a show that's probably going to be a hit for years to come, or as long as they're on. It's not going to lose its luster like some other shows. So Stranger Things Season 2 also was had a pretty strong, trailer. Outside of that, 24 Legacy premiered yesterday. 24 Legacy. Like I said, it's hard to live up to an original. The original 24 is an all-time great show. Jack Bauer is an all-time great character. Kiefer Sutherland played that role. I can't imagine anyone playing that role as well as he did. It fit him to the T, and he kicked butt as Jack Bauer. And I love that show. It was absolutely awesome. It was original in the way that it was shot and the way that it was presented. And it just kind of fit into the times of where we were at with terrorism and everything else. So it was absolutely awesome. It's going to be hard to live up to that billing. I don't think that Legacy will quite do that. I was able to watch Legacy today. And I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was really super strong. Definitely wasn't, could have been better. You know, some of the details could have been a little bit sharper as far as filling this in. I think they got into it a little too soon. They could have warmed us up a little bit before they got into the action. They got into the action almost immediately and didn't give us enough of a background or give us enough details on the character. Let us get to know them a little bit more before we just jump into things. You know, by letting us know the characters a little bit more, then we can figure out who's who and what they're about and kind of read them a little bit, because we know that there are going to be people who are in positions that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So someone's acting like a good guy who's really a bad guy. So I would like the opportunity to watch the show and kind of get a feel for each character before things get shady and I have to decide who's really doing some behind-the-back stuff and who's really up front, you know? So I think that they just kind of jumped into it a little too quickly. But I believe episode 2 of 24 Legacy is also tonight. So they're doing it Sunday, Monday, back-to-back episodes, which I like. We don't have to wait an entire week to see what happens next. So hopefully episode 2 is really kicks off and kind of, you know, really catches us. Because I really liked the show 24. When I found out that Legacy was coming out, I really was looking forward to it. Episode 1 wasn't the strongest, but I will definitely watch it again tonight and hope for greater things. But You know, we need more shows. Seems like they're dying out. The great shows have kind of like come and gone. You know, Westworld is gone. I think Walking Dead has kind of lost its luster a little bit, although that's coming back, I believe, next week. Billions. Did Billions come back yet? If it's not this week, it may be next week. I'm looking forward to that. That was an awesome season one. But nonetheless, though, 24 Legacy, I'm hoping for great things. I'll tune into episode 2 tonight and let you guys know what I think tomorrow. We'll go ahead and take a break now, and then we'll get back to talk about maybe a little bit more Super Bowl and what's next. You guys continue to stay tuned. It'd be terrific. The Mike Wasser Show. We'll be back right after this. Hey guys, welcome back to the Mike Wasser Show on Be Terrific. Monday after Super Bowl 51, an epic Super Bowl. They really won. They came back from 19 in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable. 31 unanswered points. The first quarterback to ever win 5 Super Bowls. The first time anyone's come back from 19 in the fourth quarter. I mean, the first overtime in Super Bowl history. It was the first of many yesterday. I haven't seen comments from Matt Ryan. I was just on ESPN and saw a quote that we'll bounce back from the Super Bowl. Obviously, what are you supposed to say? Honestly, I would love to see guys just be honest about things and just say, you know what? I coughed it up. I cost us the Super Bowl. That sack was unacceptable. Should never have happened, and it's on me. I'll really let these guys down, and I'm never going to really get over this, but I'm going to go into the offseason and just use it as motivation to get better, and I'll never let this happen again. But then again, you can't be who you aren't. If you're not cut like that, you're not cut like that. And they can say what they want, but honestly, I don't even think the Falcons are going to make the playoffs next year. I don't think they're getting over this. You don't get over this. If you go into the game, you get blown out. That's easier to digest than giving up a 19-point lead. That's easier to digest than what happened. They gave away their Super Bowl, their championship, their mark in history. Instead, they'll be remembered for the wrong reasons, and they're not getting back. It's not going to happen. This was their year. This was their opportunity, and they blew it. Julio Jones, all-time great receiver, but he's, what, 27, 28 maybe? He has a few more years of being dominant. Maybe 2. He's battling injury every year. I mean, this year he's going to have he's going to have surgery on his toe. I mean, to think he was performing like this with these detrimental injuries is amazing. But, you know, that he's got about 2 more years. And that might not even be a given, but 2 more years I would say of being dominant. After that, who are you going to rely on? Matt Ryan? I mean, Devontae Freeman, they may not even sign him. And I don't think he's a franchise carrier anyway, as far as, like, the carrier franchise. Defense was good. Wouldn't call it great. And honestly, just follow the leader. And when your quarterback doesn't have that mental strength, I think it's gonna reflect on the rest of the team. And that's what's going to happen. You know, we have to remember who Matt Ryan was prior to this 38 touchdown season that he had, this MVP season that he had. And I think it's going to be real easy for him to revert back to that guy as opposed to keeping up who this guy for this season was. So I don't expect the Falcons to be here next year. I do expect the Patriots to be here next year. I like the kid Mitchell. He had a big second half. He was probably Brady's main target. Edelman obviously is a great receiver, underrated receiver, very underrated. I love Edelman. Super tough, gutsy, makes big catches. He's not afraid to compete. Like, he's everything you want in a slot receiver. I'm a big fan of the guy. He's going to be there. Gronkowski, the best tight end in football. Some say the best tight end ever. You know, one of the most dominant forces in the game. He's going to be back. So that only makes them better. And then Chris Hogan, who had a great, great postseason. Didn't have a great Super Bowl, but had a great postseason, is going to be there as well. So when you take all of that into consideration, I mean, the Patriots are going to be there. I would almost pencil them in. And supposedly Garoppolo is really hot on the market as far as trade demand. Teams really want him. And so if you're the Patriots and you feel as though Tom Brady's going to give you a few more years of this thing, you may trade Garoppolo and draft another younger quarterback and just wait until that can sit there and wait and learn until he's ready. And Garoppolo may generate a first-round pick. If the Patriots are able to get a first-round pick, I mean, sheesh. There was rumors, I heard this yesterday, that DeAndre Hopkins was actually somebody that they were targeting for Garoppolo. And the Texans are very, very much need a quarterback. It's been their one major drawback for a couple of seasons now. They have a great defense, but they don't have a quarterback. And if they're not willing to pay DeAndre Hopkins that money, that might be a move that they're willing to make. If the Patriots get DeAndre Hopkins, it's over. They're not just going to win this Super Bowl. They're winning like the next three. They're gonna have a crazy run. Honestly, I don't see anyone in the AFC competing with them. I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers could do that, but they showed me otherwise in the way that they got pretty much manhandled in the AFC Championship game. They got beat so bad, Ben Roethlisberger wants to retire, you know? So I just don't see them beating the Patriots, and no one else is in the AFC I can see compete with them. I would love to say my Colts, but we are a long way. We have so many issues and so many holes to fill that it's going to take us a couple of years before we're able to compete on that level. Tom Brady might be out the game by the time we're able to compete on that level, which is sad because Andrew Luck's been in the league for 4 to 5 years. But that's bad management on our part, but I won't go into that because I can do a whole show on how bad we've done the job of building a team around him. But really, I look at it, there's no one else in the AFC that I can see that can really compete with the Patriots. I think the Raiders actually are a really good team. Derek Carr was having a great season. I'm a big fan of him. After Andrew Luck, he's probably my second favorite quarterback in the NFL. But I don't think he can compete with the Patriots either. They have a great young team. Khalil Mack, defensive player of the year, I think he won this year. They may add to that. Actually, the Raiders. The Raiders are a team to look for, to watch out for. But as I alluded to earlier, I think that with great teams, what makes great teams or dynasty teams like the Patriots great is that they're not just amplified by a great quarterback. They're amplified by a great coach. So it's two great central parts of the team that are amplifying them. No one else has that. You know? I think Harbaugh from the Ravens is a great coach. But he doesn't have that great player that is going to help elevate the team along with him. Tomlinson. I like Tomlinson a lot. I think he's great for a lot of reasons, but he just completely got outplayed, outcoached by Bill Belichick, and that's been the case. It seems like I think great coaches adjust, and he doesn't seem to have done that with all the talent that he has on that team. But I'll give him another chance. Obviously, I have a choice. We'll see. I want to see them do well. I do like the Steelers personnel. I think Le'Veon Bell is an all-timer. Antonio Brown is a top three receiver. So they have the talent. They have the personnel. But it just seems like when it comes to that chess game of maneuvering and strategizing, Bill Belichick has him down. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to compete. The Ravens, we've seen them beat the Patriots. They've probably played the Patriots tougher than anyone over the course of these years. So if they had a great play, I can see them doing it. But there's no one else. There's no one else in the AFC that I can think of that's going to be able to really compete with this team. Jack Del Rio, I don't think he's on that level. I don't think he's in that class of coaches to be able to amplify that team enough to be able to beat the Patriots. I mean, the Broncos had an all-time great defense. All-time great defense. And Peyton Manning, although he wasn't at his best towards that last year, and especially not in that Super Bowl, he was still an all-time great player, you know? So that was enough to get it done. I don't know who that is in the AFC that's going to be able to stop these Patriots, because you couldn't do it this year, and they're going to be even better next year. So it's not going to get any easier. I mean, but we'll see. It's going to be a busy NFL offseason. A lot of moves are going to be made to try to counter what the Patriots did and obviously try to knock them off the pedestal. We'll see. Hopefully my Colts can be the one to do it. I would love that. After seeing them beat us for years and then seeing him win another championship, with nothing that would be greater or more sweeter for me than to see Andrew Luck raise that trophy. Likelihood of that happening? Not too likely. Out the NFC, I'm not too sure either. I'll say this. The Falcons aren't going back. They are not going back. Their spirit was broken yesterday. And a lot of guys who are going to come back next year are not going to have faith or belief in their quarterback. And that means a lot. When a guy that's leading you is someone that you can't trust is going to perform, is someone that you feel is going to be scared, it's going to show and it's going to reflect and it's going to like resonate throughout the entire team. And that's what's going to happen with the Falcons. They're not coming back. The Cowboys, I feel like, have a great chance to come back. They have to make some improvements to their defense, but their offensive line is, you know, it's going to be great for years and years and years. Dak Prescott actually seems like he has that Tom Brady gene where he's able to perform big in big moments, and he's super talented. Dez Bryant, great receiver. They probably need another receiver to go along with Dez Bryant to kind of, like, open things up more. Ezekiel Elliott, of course, in that running game. I think the Cowboys have a great shot of getting there. Jason Garrett as a coach, I'm not sure, but they might have enough parts. They just have to improve that defense to get there and to be able to see. Maybe they may be able to be the team that knocks the Patriots off the pedestal. It might be a passing of the torch. I know Trav would love to hear that because that's his second up after Tom Brady. Aside from them, maybe the Green Bay Packers. I feel like that's another team that they just need another weapon. It can't just be all A-Rod. I know people point to Jordy Nelson, but I feel like all of those guys are kind of like they go as A-Rod goes. They need a guy who, you know, maybe A-Rod can, you know, give it to him and then that guy can make a play. Or they need a defense that's going to be great and really strong. But they need something besides A-Rod to help push that team along. Mike McCarthy is nowhere near in the nowhere near Bill Belichick as a mastermind. He just has the benefit, the luxury of having Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. And that's what's kept him in his job for all of these years, in my opinion. But if you, I think Aaron Rodgers needs something else great other than himself to amplify that team and to push them forward into the Super Bowl. So those are the two teams I think I would say are early favorites outside out in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl. AFC, lock them in. Patriots in there again next year. But guys, we have gotten to that time. It is the end of the show. End of the football season. It was I want to say it's not a great football season. Actually, it wasn't great at all. But that was an all-time great Super Bowl. So kudos to the Patriots and to their fans. I know that they're celebrating heavy out there in Boston, and as they should, and they should enjoy that. But guys, thank you for joining me on the Mike Warrington Show on Be Terrific. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Stay terrific, and I'll see you here again tomorrow.